This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Well, we'll go ahead and get started. So welcome to this series. It's a four-part series on the practice of prayer. And I'll say a little more about the series here in just a moment. But just to let you know, it's four parts. We want to welcome the folks on Zoom. And so just to remind you that if you have any questions or comments you want to make, when we have time at the end for that, just be sure and come to this microphone so they can hear you. So I'm used to, Roger asked if anybody was going to introduce me. I'm used to introducing folks, you know, who are the speakers for Crail C. But so I'm the speaker for today. So Mona West, the Director of Adult Christian Formation here at St. David's, and just excited to be here to talk about prayer with you. So I thought we'd begin with this poem by Mary Oliver. Do you all know the poet Mary Oliver? If you don't, you should. So she's just wonderful. She writes a lot about nature, but she also writes some about the spiritual life. She has several poems about prayer, but I like this one in particular. So I'm going to read it for you and then just ask your thoughts about it. So she says about prayer, "It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak." So, is there anything in this poem that resonates for you as you think about prayer or the practice of prayer? Yeah, Heather?
I look at prayer as an opportunity for self-reflection and self-awareness.
Okay, so prayer is an opportunity for self-reflection and self-awareness. Yeah, Sister Mary?
At the very end, where it says, it is a silence in which another voice may speak. The voice of God can speak to us in that silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Pastor, Pastor Angela and I did not collaborate on today. I didn't pay her for her sermon, but you know, she talked a lot about listening. Yeah. And yeah, so you kind of have that toward the end there, that that part of prayer is listening. Yeah. Lauren?
I love this song and I am familiar with it, but it's the simplicity of prayer and the kind of the on the spotness of it. Sometimes it is just what she says, it's just kind of on the spot. It's whatever, wherever you are, whatever you create that sentence.
Mm-hmm. So simplicity, yeah, kind of on the spot, spontaneous. Yeah, it doesn't have to be elaborate. Yeah, Edna?
I was thinking of connection with all that exists. It's like prayer for me to see something natural and know that you're part of the scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so a connection with all that exists. Yeah, so she says, it doesn't have to be, it'd be the blue iris or even weeds.
Yeah. Today, it was
Pilbug.
I was thinking, what is our connection? I'm sure you have a
problem. I'll have to remember that when I sweep them up off my back porch. Yeah. Okay. Roger and then Mary, and then I'm going to move this on. Yeah. Roger.
I think sometimes the line, it could be weeds in a vacant lot, like it sounds like nothing is going on, and it was just kind of vacant, empty. Then I think of the line, it says, Pastor Angela is this morning, the rabbi, probably he was talking to a wall, which is the Western Wall in his case. You know, mm-hmm. So sometimes that's what talking to God for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of connotes this idea of desert. You know, sometimes being in that empty place, like a desert, like a place with a lot of weeds, maybe we're more present. But, you know, from the parable, from the gospel this morning, it could also be the weeds kind of get in the way, you know, those distracting thoughts. But, yeah. Mary, over here.
Well, it looks to me like, okay, you're walking along, and this is wrong, and that is wrong, and that is wrong, and I have to do this, and I'm worried about that. Oh, wait, look at that flower, you know, and it gets your mind, paying attention gets your mind out of its rut and paves the way to maybe you should be a little thankful as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Well, thank you. Thank you all for your thoughts on this prayer. See, so my clicker's not going to work. There must be, we've been having technical issues. So let me, okay. And I bought a new clicker. You should tell, be sure to tell John Burnett that because it didn't work last week for him. So it's got to be something with the computer because it is not working. So we'll just do it the old fashioned way. So just by way of introduction to this series, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at prayer for the next 4 weeks. I want to just talk in general terms about spiritual temperament and prayer. There have been some theologians and some folks who have sort of pondered that just like we have a particular temperament, some of us are more introverted, some of us are more extroverted, that we probably have a spiritual temperament. Some of us are more that images and words, imagination is kind of more in our temperament. And so that will be the way that we pray. The word that's used for that kind of temperament is called kataphatic. It's a Greek word. And typically that temperament, because it's word-based, image-based, folks who have that temperament or are inclined toward that temperament will speak their prayers or speak to God about their concerns or about their life or their desires, whatever. there are other folks who have a temperament that leans more toward without images or sort of clearing the mind that God is beyond words or language or images. And so that's called the phrase or the word for that is apophatic. And so it's about kind of emptying the mind. And folks will often then talk about their prayer as a listening for God. I mean, I would say that both of these temperaments in some way listen for God. I appreciate what Pastor Angela said about prayer being a way that sort of tills the soil of our life and opens us to God. So regardless of your temperament, you know, you're being intentional about opening yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, God in you. I heard there was a good friend of mine who used to say that the spiritual life, prayer, is not about our willfulness, you know, our willpower, our discipline, but it's about our willingness to be open to God's work in us. And so the four types of prayer that we're going to look at in this series are the daily office. I'm going to talk about that today, and that's why I asked you to get a copy of the BCP. We're going to walk through that a little later, which tends to be cataphatic. It's a very word-based. Lectio Divina, Joe Berry is going to be talking with us next week about Lectio Divina. Which is sort of cataphatic and apophatic. There are movements to that kind of prayer that start with scripture or an image, but end with silence. So it's kind of a little bit of both. And then centering prayer, in the third week in this this series, I've got someone coming from Center for Contemplation and Action. That's Richard Rohr. Someone who's coming, I believe, from the Church of conscious harmony, the contemplative outreach, that's it. Someone who's been trained in the method of centering prayer that actually Father Thomas Keating developed. So they're going to be coming and talking about centering prayer. And it tends to be mostly apophatic, but it starts with a word. There is a word that you kind of anchor yourself with as you clear your mind and open yourself to God. And then meditation, our own Gus Hernandez, who leads the 8:30 morning meditation on Sunday mornings, is going to come and talk to us about meditation in the last part of this series. So that's where we're headed for the next 4 weeks. That doesn't work. Okay. So we're going to talk today about fixed hour prayer, or another name for fixed hour prayer is called the daily office. And we see passages in Psalms and actually kind of throughout Scripture, there are references to people praying at different times during the day. But we find in Psalm 119 this phrase, seven times a day do I praise you. So there was in Jewish tradition a regular time of prayer, morning that moved through the day. And what happened was by the time of the Common Era, Jews were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and the city bells were rung throughout the day to conduct the business, the forum bells for the Roman Empire. You know, there weren't clocks back then, Apple Watches, cell phones. That's okay. It kind of woke everybody up. So that's good. It's God calling. So the forum bells would be rung in Rome. This is during the New Testament period. The Common Era, Jews are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And as those city bells were rung to mark the business and rest during the day, then the bells also became a way to call people to prayer. And so prayer began to be ordered in this way as well. And so this is the schedule of the forum bells. So at the beginning of the day, the first hour of the day, the bells would be rung to indicate the beginning of the day. At 9 a.m., there would be a bell rung noting the day's progress in the third hour, or terse. And you see that each of these hours that were rung by the bell, you know, have a Latin term to them. Noon was the lunch break. Love their lunch break, three-hour lunch break. So the lunch break was sounded at the sixth hour, or sext. Then at 3 p.m., bells called people back to work at the ninth hour, or noon. And at 6 p.m., the day's business would be closed with the evening hour, or vespers. So as these bells then shaped the way the hours for prayer were marked in Jewish tradition, and that was inherited then by the early Christians, because the first Christians were Jews. So that notion of fixed hour prayer, that rhythm of prayer that was sort of anchored in the bells, continued on in the New Testament. And so here you have a couple of examples of fixed hour prayer in the New Testament. In Acts, the healing of the lame man on the temple steps, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock. So they were headed up there for the midday, mid-afternoon prayer. And there was a man there who was lame who asked for alms. And you may remember their famous line, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. You know, take up your mat and walk. So that's just a little detail, I think, maybe that we miss in some of these stories, but they're on their way to prayer when this happens. Peter's rooftop vision in Acts chapter 10, very significant in the book of Acts. That's a message about God's acceptance of all people. And the way God gets that message to Peter is through accepting all animals for food. And Peter has that vision when he's going up to the rooftop to pray midday prayer. So, and then you have examples in the New Testament of the early Christian community using psalms and prayers in their worship, that Jewish heritage is shaping the way they use scripture and their rhythm for prayer. So Pastor Angela talked a lot about St. Benedict. Angela, I told them we did not collaborate on the sermon. It was the Holy Spirit. But a little bit more about St. Benedict. This rhythm of prayer was starting to take shape. But Benedict was really the one who sort of fixed it, codified it in some ways. In the 6th century, he ordered the Psalms, there are 150 of them, into a structure that fit those hours. So, okay, we're going to have a certain number of psalms we read at the first hour of the day or the first bell, and then another group of psalms at the second bell. And so he fixed a structure so that basically the monks could pray through all 150 psalms in a week using that fixed hour rhythm throughout the day. And he claimed that to pray is to work and to work is to pray. Pastor Angela talked some about that's very significant to Benedictine spirituality, prayer and work, that rhythm. And so it's from this statement that we have this idea of the daily office, the word for office, Latin opus, which means work, was developed. So each hour of fixed prayer then was an office. So you just kind of think about, we still use the word office today to talk about him going into the office, to work, but to think about each hour as an office that we enter into to pray. And the Psalms are key to that prayer. And of course, in the monastic tradition, the Psalms are chanted usually in an antiphonal way, which is very beautiful. And there are many monasteries today that hospitality was also a big focus of Benedictine spirituality, or is. And so many monasteries today are open to have people come and make retreat or receive spiritual direction. And many of them, you can actually join the monks in the choir loft and pray the office. And so here you have then kind of the combination of those forum bells, the marking of the day, and then the monastic hours. I would recommend this little book to you. It's called The Music of Silence. It's by Brother David Stendel Rast. There's also this will tell you how long I've had this book, a cassette tape that goes with it. I think there's a podcast you can get to. But what he does is he takes these hours and he talks about how each hour has an angel or sort of a spirit or a spirituality to it. And so this is how he talks about the monastic hours. Vigils is the night watch, so that usually happens in the middle of the night. And the monasteries will set their own schedule in terms of like what time, 2:30, 3, 4 o'clock. Lauds is at daybreak, the coming of the light. Prime then is the deliberate beginning of the day. Terse is the monastic coffee break. So it's a very short hour, kind of mid-morning. And then sext is the noonday prayer, where you're basically kind of, it's a midpoint. So you're sort of assessing kind of what your day's been like so far, and you're setting your intention again for what's left of the day ahead. known, the shadows grow longer. It's kind of mid-afternoon. Vespers, the lighting of the lamps, and then Compline completing the circle. So let me just kind of pause there. So I'm going to jump over now to the daily office, and in particular, the way it appears or occurs in the Book of Common Prayer. But before I do that, any questions, any thoughts, any additions you want to contribute to what we've looked at so far? All right. So the daily office. We've already mentioned that the word office comes from the Latin opus, for work. Facere is the word to do. So to do the work. Oftentimes it's called the Opus Dei, so the divine office. So it's also God's work. So it's not just about our work, our willfulness, but when we come to the office, when we pray the office, I mean, we're encountering scripture, we're encountering collects, we're encountering prayers, and in that work, we are opening ourselves up to God's work in us, God's speaking to us through those scriptures, through those psalms, through those collects. So with the Eucharist, it's the oldest surviving form of Christian spirituality. So it's a very ancient form of prayer. It's listed first in the BCP. So if you want to take your Book of Common Prayer and just look at the table of contents. it's the first thing listed. So, and you've got there. What happens is these hours, the monastic hours, are collapsed in the Book of Common Prayer into morning prayer, evening prayer, then there's noonday prayer and Compline. So we have four offices, and then the right one is the Elizabethan English. The right one and right two are very similar. There's a little difference in some of the phrasing, typically it's the language. Right one is Elizabethan English, and then right two is more contemporary. But the point that I want to make is that it's listed first. It's daily, you know. So the other services that are listed here in the BCP are seasonal. They're weekly, or they're tied to a particular event in life, like a funeral or a marriage. But the daily office is. It's just that. It's daily. The other thing that I would point out when we actually get into looking at, we're going to take a look at right two in the BCP, but you'll find that in the rubrics or in the instructions for praying the office that lay people can lead it as well as clergy. So I think that's the other thing that's beautiful about the office. Is that lay or clergy can lead it, but also it's corporate or individual. And really what I want to lift up in the time that we have together here is the individual use of the office. That you don't have to wait for to go somewhere to do the daily office. I mean, that's wonderful. It's great to pray it in community. It's beautiful. But it's you can also do it at home. You can do it on your own, by yourself. That's just what I want to impress on you, that if your temperament is such that it's more word-based, more image-based, more book-based, you know, something you can hold in your hand as you pray, then this might be a good way for you to engage in the discipline or practice of prayer as you till that soil, you know, of your life and your journey. It's a way to pray without ceasing. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. And so when you think about the fixed hours or the times in which people around the world are engaged in morning prayer, or noonday prayer or evening prayer, there's somebody praying throughout the world. There's somebody praying. And you're praying. I mean, if you follow the Psalms, like for the Book of Common Prayer, then you're praying the same Psalms with folks who are using the BCP, you know, throughout the world. I mean, so you're joining your prayers to the prayers of others who are praying in either the same time zone or different time zones. I'll talk a little bit about some apps here. You know, there's an app for everything. So there are some apps for this. And one that I used to use, I think it's called the Divine Office. It's based out of a Roman Catholic, it's the same rhythm, but the Psalms and the prayers are a little different. But there was a place in that app where you could actually click on a picture of the world, you know, the spinning globe, and there'd be little lights in all the places in the world where people were using the app, you know, at the same time you were. So it was pretty cool. So it's a way to pray without ceasing. So let's just walk through rite two for morning prayer. And so if you look at page 75 in the BCP, there are a couple of places where you can start. So anytime you, in the rubrics or the instructions for saying the daily office are in italics. And so anytime you see the word may, that means you have options. It's optional. so we're told here that you can actually start the daily office here, or you can flip over to page 80 and start there. So if you start here, and if you start here, there's an opening versicle or sentence that's categorized by the seasons of the church year. It's like Advent, Epiphany, Lent, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent. And then there's a confession. So if that's where you want to start, that's fine. You can start there. Or you can start on page 80 with the phrase, Lord, open my lips. And so for individual use, you know, just change the plural our to singular, Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. This is a very ancient way of opening the daily office, and it actually comes out of the monastic tradition when the monks would finish compline at the end of the day and go to their cells to sleep. They would enter the great silence. And so the great silence would be the time that they would be in their cells asleep. And so the breaking of that great silence would happen with this verse. Actually, I think it's from Psalm 51. Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. And then glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. So, and then once again, you look through what season of the year you're in. We're in ordinary time now. So if you look at the bottom of page 81, you've got a couple of, these are called antiphons. So they're kind of like little pieces of bread that you can say on either side of the psalm that's in the middle. Choose one of these. The earth is the Lord's, for he made it. Come, let us adore him. Worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. Come, let us adore him. But notice that each of them has the invitation, come, let us adore him. So at this point in the daily office, this is what's called the invitatory, the invitation. So these verses are inviting you into the prayer. They're inviting you into this time of reflection, this time of praise, this time of opening. And so you have then, so if you flip the page on page 82, you've got two options for an invitatory psalm. These are psalms, once again, that invite, you know, come, be joyful, come into God's presence. Typically, we are familiar with Veniti, which is this Psalm 95, and the Latin word Veniti is actually that's the first word of the psalm, come. So come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout to God, for God is a great God. In God's hand are the caverns of the earth. The sea is his. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee. So it's an invitation, you know, to worship. It's an invitation to praise, an invitation to come before God's presence. And then you can say the antiphon again. Come, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. During the season of Lent, if you look over on page 83, and if you look up in the little italicized portion there, right above Christ our Passover, in Easter week, and also sort of throughout the season of right after Easter, there is this, you can use this instead, which is just basically bringing to mind what was accomplished in the act of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. So after we've entered into the time of prayer then with the invitatory, we move now to the lessons. And so if you turn the page, page 84, you've got Psalms. Remember we said St. Benedict, that Psalms are really the anchor point of the daily office. And so Psalms, or the Psalms appointed, okay? Which Psalms? Where are you going to find those Psalms? If you look, if you go to page 974. This is the daily office lectionary. Lecture, basically meaning readings. And so this is the chart that's going to tell you by week which psalm and which passages of scripture to read and reflect on for that day of the week. So we're in proper 10. This is being recorded. So if you want to go back and listen, this is a lot of information and a lot of detail. So it's being recorded. So if you want to go back and listen to it again, you can. And as I said, I'm going to share with you a slide in just a minute. There's an app that you can download that just does all this for you. But if you're a book person like me, I just like to, you know, flip the pages and hold the book. And so that'll be up to you. But the way the daily office lectionary works is that year one, you're going to read in odd numbered years. So we're in 2023, so we're in year one. Year two is going to be in even numbered years. It's kind of tricky, though, because the church year starts in Advent. And so technically, we started year one in December of 2022. So, but I think this is a rule of thumb, odd number year, year one. So, and we also have a little bit of help here in terms of which week, the week of Sunday closest to July 13th. So that's a help as well. You know, what week am I in? I know what year I'm in. What week am I in? So we're in proper 10. And so the Psalms for today for the daily office are Psalm 148, 149, and 150. And so the morning Psalms are going to be listed to the left. And then there's a little asterisk, kind of a little symbol there. And then the Psalms on the right are for evening prayer. And basically, if you do morning prayer and evening prayer every day, you can pray through almost all the Psalms in a 7-week cycle. In 7 weeks, you can pray through. It'll take you through all the Psalms. So we have our Psalms. So we'd go back. So we would turn then, and I'm not going to take the time to actually read through the Psalms for today, but in the BCP, the Psalms are included there. So you can go to Psalm 148. Find the Psalms. There they are. Psalm 148 is going to be on page 805. So you actually have the Psalms in the BCP. So you read through those Psalms. And at the end of the Psalms, you say, the glory be. All right. So we're going to go back now. After reading the Psalms, let's go back to page 84. And you see at the top of page 84, at the end of the Psalms is sung or said, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. So those are our Psalms. Now we're going to move into the lessons. There are three lessons that are assigned for each day of the year. And depending on whether or not you pray, if you do just one office, and this is a prayer practice that I observe on a regular basis, and typically I'll just pray the morning office. And so if you pray just the morning office, it's suggested that you do all three readings. If you pray both morning and evening, you can do two in the morning, like the Old Testament and the Epistle, and save the gospel for the evening. But then you would read through your lessons. So you'd go back to your lectionary on page 974. And the other thing that I appreciate about the daily office is you're working your way through Scripture. So it's not just random passages. So you can look down the list here and see that if you had been reading the daily office for the last couple of weeks, you've been working your way through 1 Samuel for the Old Testament readings. And if you look over to the gospel, you've been, well, kind of really all over the place, but you've been Mark, you know, starting on Tuesday, well, actually starting on Monday, you're working your way through parts of Mark. So the daily office is a great way to work through Scripture, you know, to read through Scripture on a consistent basis. And Joe will probably talk about this next week, but that's also part of what Lectio Divina does, is it's a continuation through Scripture, rather than just random passages. At the end of each Scripture reading, there is a canticle that you pray. And a canticle is just a song of praise. It's a way to sort of break up the readings and give you kind of a breath or a pause to sort of think about that reading or move from that reading and kind of reset for the next reading. And so you'll find the canticles starting on page 85. And they're numbered. So if you want to know, okay, what canticle do I pray on Sunday after the Old Testament? Or what canticle do I pray on Sunday after the New Testament? There's a listing of the canticles on page 144. You turn to page 144, you've got the suggested canticles for morning prayer, and then 145, the suggested canticles for evening prayer. So for Sunday, the canticle for this morning after the Old Testament reading, after we read the passage from Samuel, would be canticle number 8. After the New Testament reading or the gospel passage, it would be either Canticle 4 or Canticle 16. And that's just if we're not in Advent or Lent. You know, there are special canticles if you're in one of those seasons. But that's how you determine what canticle to read after each of the lessons.
Wait, say that one time. I'm sorry, I spaced out. But okay.
Page 144. Yeah, so if you look for Sunday, it says here after the Old Testament reading, if you're in Advent, you would do 4 or 16. If you were in the season of Lent, you would do 11. Yeah, but we're in ordinary time, so we're not in any of those seasons. So you'd do 8. Yeah. And then after the New Testament reading, you'd do 4 or 16. All right. Thank you for hanging with me. We're almost done. And actually, yeah, to pray, it takes about 15, 20 minutes to pray through the daily office. I mean, I'm you know, walking us through it, but it really doesn't take that long to pray through. So you come then after the canticle, after the gospel reading, go to page 96. Then we sort of close out those scripture readings with the Apostles' Creed. So you say the Apostles' Creed, which is connected to our baptismal covenant. That's the creed that we reference and pray in our baptismal covenant. And then you move into the prayers. So we've kind of gone from the invitation to enter the office to the period where we're being with the scriptures, allowing God to speak to us through the Psalms and the Old Testament and the gospel. And now it's time for us to speak to God. You know, we've been listening. You know, we've been taking this in. And so now we're going to offer some prayers. And so these are the prayers. The Lord's Prayer. This is page 97. And then there are a couple of sets of suffrages, sort of bidding prayers, A and B. The suffrages in A are can be used morning or evening. They cover kind of a broad range of things. The suffrages under B on page 98 tend to be more for morning prayer because, you know, there's the word, keep us from all sin today. You know, we put our trust in you. So that tends to be one the set that people will use for morning prayer. Personally, I use the A set. I just appreciate where those prayers take me when I pray them. And then a couple of collects. So we move then into a couple of collects. The collect of the day, that can be, if you flip over to page 230, there's a section in the BCP that lists collects, and so there are collects for different seasons of the year, like Advent, you know, Christmas, etc. But we are in ordinary time, and so there is the collect for Proper 10, which is the week that we're in. We heard it this morning. If you came to the 9 o'clock service, you'll hear it again at 11:15. Probably at 8, you heard it as well. But so the collect of the day is whatever the collect is for the proper of the week, or if it's a special day like Good Friday, Easter, there will be specific collects in that section of the BCP for you to pray. You also have collects for Sunday. So you've got a collect for Sunday for today, a collect for Friday, for Saturday, and these are just prayers that sort of help us think about where we are in the week and what's ahead for us. So like the collect for Saturday talks about resting so that we can be prepared for the service of worship on the following day. And then you have some general collects, and you don't have to pray all of these. Just pick two or three. And then when you go to page 100, there is a prayer for mission that's usually added. So as we think about saying prayers for ourselves, asking for God's assistance as we move through our day. Then we kind of broaden that to pray for the world. And so you've got three options there, really, for a prayer for mission that's more broad about praying for the world. And then you can spend time just voicing your own prayers and intercessions for the day, for people that you're praying for, petitions, certain petitions you might have, or you could pause here for some time of silence, a little bit of that apophatic work. If there's something in one of the scriptures that kind of caught your mind that you want to kind of come back to and just sort of ponder or think about, this would be a place to do that. And then you close out the office with one of these thanksgivings. You have there are two. There's this longer one that talks about God's blessing for us and our desire to respond to that blessing and grace through the living out of our lives for the day. But then there's also on page 102 the prayer of Saint Chrysostom, which is another prayer you can pray. And then you close out the office with one of these passages of scripture. My favorite is the third one. Glory to God, whose power working in me can do infinitely more than I can ask or imagine. So, like I said, the walkthrough, it seems like it's kind of complicated, but you'll get the hang of it, you know, once you start working. This, you have the BCP there. I think the bookstore carries these. You can also get a volume that has the BCP and the Bible in it. So that way you don't have two books, so you can just flip over to the back and do your reading in Samuel or the Gospel or wherever. Otherwise, you'll need the BCP and a copy of the Bible. Or here's the app right here. Ta-da! The Nighty. I mean, there are several apps out there, but this one is used a lot. I mean, I think a lot of the folks on staff use this, but it's free. It's a free download. It's an Episcopal organization that has created it. So if you download the app, you can just, yeah, it'll pull up the whole thing. You know, the opening sentence, the Venite, the collects, the prayers, everything. And there's even a little section for you to set a timer to meditate for 5 or 10 minutes after you've gone through the scriptures. So it's a bit, yeah.
I think it's the one that for day by day, I think it's called Four Movement. They have an app,
mm-hmm.
which is got those booklets. I don't know if they still print them or not, but they had a little meditation that you could read, and they were pretty old fashioned, but they will have that. If you want to go look at their little meditation for the day or the week.
Okay.
It's just for day by day.
Yeah, and Forward Movement does this one too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 But there are great apps out there. Yeah. For daily devotions, daily prayer. But this one uses the BCP, you know, and the assigned readings for the day. So usually I'll have my phone with me next to the BCP because sometimes I forget what week I'm in and I'm too lazy to go to page 144 to figure out what canticle. So I'll just pull it up on my phone. And it's like, oh yeah, it's this week. And then I'll go back to my book.
And St. Clair, she's Lutheran.
Yes.
She uses the Episcopal office. Her stuff is a little busy for me, but she does usually pick up some of our hymns and often our St. David's choir singing. So
yes.
If you really are moved by music like I am, you could pick a hymn and sing along and just, you know, kind of have it with you that day, which is nice about Mission St. Clair.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So Mission St. Clair is another one. They have an app, and you're right. There are hymns there because there are places in the office to sing the hymns. There's another app. There's a religious order of Episcopal women, St. Helena, and they have an app. And the thing that I appreciate about that app And they also have a prayer book that they've created that's based on the BCP and their rhythm of prayer, is that they use inclusive language. So that's kind of the other challenge, is that a lot of the prayer books, a lot of the resources, they're not going to have that inclusive language. The Order of St. Helena does. And then Roger brought one. It comes from the Roman Catholic tradition, but it's a great resource. I used this one for years. The People's Companion of the Breviary. It's a two-volume set, and it's inclusive language. So it's kind of nice if you get distracted with exclusive language. All right. Any other questions or comments for the good of the body? Okay. I'll close with this quote. This is also a great resource. Phyllis Tickle was a journalist, longtime Episcopalian, but she has a three-volume set where she's taken the essence of the daily office and really shortened it. So she just has sort of verses instead of whole long passages that will take you through the different offices. So this was the prayers for summertime, but she has autumn and winter. And what she does in this series is not only to use the BCP, but she pulls in prayers and readings just from the history, the ancient history of the church. But this is what she says. I love what she says about the daily office. She says, prayer is always a place as well as an action. And the daily offices are like small chapels or wayside stations within the day's courses. So, good words from Phyllis Tickle.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.